Brent Snavely. He is the fine writer with the Detroit Free Press. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Tony?
Boy, you had a busy day yesterday as two of your stories were on the front page of the Free Press. Let's talk about the first one. Auto jobs growth is far from recovery. Well, we already knew that, Brent. But you point out 15,000 jobs could come to the state this year. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, as you say, we did know, we had this sense, and we knew that that the industry was rebounding, and we decided to do this story, and I thought it would be good to sort of add up what I knew that had been either recently announced or is on the way this year. And, you know, even I was sort of stunned as I went through it. And if you look through it, you know, it's across the board. Michigan's going to gain a tremendous amount of jobs and sort of will benefit more than any other state out of this, but other states are getting a lot as well, because if you look through this list, it's BMW in South Carolina adding jobs, it's Honda in Indiana adding jobs, and Nissan in Tennessee. But again, Michigan does really stand to gain quite a few jobs, in Detroit and throughout the state. So.
I've been to the Grand River plant in Lansing. Man, that thing is big and high tech. And we've talked with owners of high tech companies, especially in the computer industry, and they talk about how they have hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs, but they don't have employees who are trained. Well, you write that the technical skills are a roadblock as auto industry looks to hire.
Yeah, and really this part of it, and I wish I had more space for this in hindsight because it created a little confusion. This part of it, what I wrote about, is specifically related to engineers, mm-hmm. And here again, I was kind of shocked. I had thought that with all of the layoffs of engineers in the last couple of years in this state, that if any company wanted to hire them back, that there'd be a lot around. But what I'm being told by the different people I've talked to, companies that are trying to hire experts, et cetera, a lot of these engineers that were laid off or took buyouts were, a little older, and they have, many of them have moved out of state. Many of them are legitimately retired. Many of them have found jobs in other industries. And really, if you're a younger engineer, if, say, you were 40 years old and got laid off 5 years ago and had a family, you've probably found another job by now. And how eager are you to come back to the auto industry that put you through that pain? So I'm hearing that these companies want to expand and are having difficulty doing so. Colleges are doing their best to produce engineers. There's a lot of programs out there and have been for a long time. But at the moment, there's a shortage.
All right. Well, it's an interesting story that we'll continue to follow. You also covered the story about GM defending the Volt as Congress was all over them about the fires. Explain this to me, because from what I understand, the tests that were done were not done under the conditions recommended by the manufacturer. And I know they're going to use worst-case scenarios to find out if something's safe. Explain that to me, Brent.
The first Volt fire occurred over a weekend when the car was not being monitored. After the crash had taken place, the car was sort of, I guess, just sitting there, and they came back on Monday, and the thing had been incinerated, and they didn't know why, and they had to figure out why. And, you've gone through this whole thing since then of, I think the part that you're referring to is if you have even a conventional car that's in a traffic accident, apparently standard protocol is to do two things, drain the gas tank and disconnect the battery, okay? That's even in a standard gasoline car. It's especially important in an accident to disconnect the battery following an accident of a hybrid or electric car like the Volt, because you have a much bigger battery, a lot more power. They did not disconnect the battery. But that still created concern. They still went forward with more tests to try to recreate this accident. And they did recreate it in one case, but they had to do a lot of special things. And Dan Akerson did a good job on the Hill of explaining this. He's like, we couldn't recreate it. We only could recreate this incident when we punctured on purpose the battery and had it doused in, I forget what he said, I might mess this up, doused in some sort of fluid. And even then it didn't catch on fire right away, but eventually it did. And then one of his good punchlines was basically, look, the Volt is safe. If you've got 7 days to remove yourself from the car after being in an accident before it catches fire, I think you're going to be okay.
So. All right. Well, Brent, you're right that regardless of how you look at this, Volt's reputation is taking a hit. Are they going to lose some of their funding?
That's a very good question, and I don't think we know the answer to that yet. I mean, clearly, Republicans do not like to support this technology with tax credits. Without that support right now, sales would absolutely take a huge hit, and that's it. And if you listen to what Republicans said during the hearing yesterday, you know, a lot of them do not believe that the government should be, quote-unquote, playing favorites with future technologies and supporting the development of them with the money that they are, with these incentives.
Brent Snavely is the fine writer with the Detroit Free Press. Just go to freep.com and check out Brent's articles. Thanks so much, Brent.
All right. Thanks, Tony.